Episode 9 with Hannah Ubel. Welcome to the Lightworker Podcast. I am your host, Natalie Ubel Grant. I am a lightworker, a meditation facilitator, Reiki master, and a health and wellness enthusiast who thrives on helping people. Connection is my superpower, and I just love bringing people to a space where transformation can occur. Are you looking for information on being a lightworker? Are you a lightworker and just love collecting knowledge from other lightworkers? Then this is exactly where you need to be right now. Spirit has brought you here for a reason, and my hope is that this podcast will offer some new information and insights that will help you on your journey. I am here to help you connect and grow on your true path as a lightworker. Hi everyone, thanks for joining us. Today I have my sister Hannah Ubel with us, and she's going to share her story with you. And I thought it might be interesting to share on this Lightworker podcast because Hannah's been a model, she has been a raw chef, and she's also a healer, and so she's got plenty of really interesting knowledge to share. And I don't really know where the conversation will go today, so we'll just begin by introducing her and getting her to come on the show. So thank you for coming, Hannah, and welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Just to give you context, we are sitting at the park in Budrum in Queensland, Australia. There's a beautiful park right at the top of King Street that overlooks Caloundra. And there are big, beautiful old trees, and there's wind rushing through them up the top. But down here in this little quiet nook, we found a nice protected area that we can record this podcast. We're really lucky to have this beautiful surrounding, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
So, Hannah, yes. The reason for you on the show is because, firstly, I think people would be interested to know a little bit about you and how you transitioned from modelling into raw chef, into healing, because it's sort of a progression of over time of sort of starting in one place and then finding yourself in a way.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's been a journey.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So I thought I'd ask first, what made you decide to pursue modelling?
Ooh, that's a good question. I suppose in the beginning, from being, you know, a young teenager, having a bunch of insecurities about my body, and I suppose naturally being slender and slim, having a lot of people around me tell me that it was, you know, probably something I should pursue, I hadn't really ever thought about it, but sort of was interested because there was more than one person saying that I should be doing this. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just give this a crack and see what that entails. So my mum took a bunch of pictures of me. We went to a modelling agency in Brisbane. I was about 15, 16 at the time and still looked a bit young. And so that was, you know, the general consensus from the agents there. And they told me to finish school and do a modelling and deportment course. And so I waited and, you know, did little tidbits of modelling in amongst school, but nothing really serious until I turned 18 and did the modelling deportment course and was also studying fashion at the time, and they kind of overcrossed all the time. So then it sort of, I decided after a few things to pursue a career in it and move to the other side of the world where our brother lives in London and give it a really good shot and give it my full attention. But I suppose it really fed my insecurities at the time, and it was a really good mental challenge too.
So was it what you thought it was going to be?
Absolutely not. I probably didn't even think about what it was going to be honest. overcoming the challenges that you constantly face daily with just achieving jobs, with the constant rejection and people telling you you're not good enough, you're not what I need in this particular moment in time, you're a product and, you know, you're too big, you're too skinny, you've got the wrong colour hair.
So, and how did you at the time, because I'm sure you do it differently now, but at the time, how did you deal with that rejection?
I suppose at the time I really internalised it. And I guess looking back on it, it kind of felt a bit like self-punishment, to be really, really honest, which is really, really sad. And
so there was it was serving you in some way.
It was definitely serving me in some way, but it also gave me fuel to keep going because I wouldn't take no for an answer. And so I knew that if I just kept pursuing and kept going, that there would be some good in it and that it would be, there would be some success in it if I just kept plodding along and putting up with that, because it wasn't always like that, just, you know, a fair chunk of the time. Because once you get a job and you land that good gig that's regular, which is what every model strives for, it's pretty good to have that regular sense of income as well as that regularity and people telling you, oh, this is perfect, you're doing a great job and you're exactly what I need in this, you know, in this particular shoot or this show or whatever it was. And there's some really fun jobs as well that you would land, like body painting was quite interesting. Now I, you know, look back on all the chemicals and stuff that they would put on my body and shake my head, but at the same time, being an art canvas for someone is really quite cool and quite inspiring, and allowing someone to just let loose on you to mould into whatever they want you to be is kind of cool. Takes a bit of patience in sitting there for that long, though.
So you've had some ups and you've had some downs, and just if you could give us an overall thought of what you think of the modelling industry now. Say you could speak to the younger version of you, would it be something you would encourage her to do?
Oh, it's a juicy question. Because, and there's a number of factors to this, is because everyone is on their own journey and they need to learn what they need to learn. So they need to have their own challenges and learn it for themselves, because some people really need to go through the hardship to actually have it get, you know, through their thick skull to understand it. So so my view on the modelling industry is wow, it's pretty backwards, and I don't necessarily agree with portraying an image of beauty or objectifying women in a certain way that is quite sexualized and strives for perfection, which we're all imperfect, and I think we should all embrace our own imperfections.
And perfect. We're all perfect exactly the way we are.
Well, yes, exactly. So it's not something I would necessarily encourage to young women, but at the same time, everyone's on their own journey. So if that's something that they need to learn and go through, and it is a rewarding experience as much as it is challenging, but just be wary about the psychological issues that it might cause, because it does really cause some issues in terms of body image for yourself, self-love, and also to do with food is a big one for a number of people.
So taking all of that into account and knowing that this is your journey, what was it that led you to the raw food phase in your life?
Sure. So about 5 years into modelling, I started putting on a bit of weight, and I was living overseas in London at the time, was exposed to these vegetarians that were also a little bit radical in this new movement, which was raw food. It was new to me. It was quite radical because quite an extreme way of eating, and it's a whole different type of way of thinking about food, in not heating it above 46 degrees, and everything is raw in its purest form, and it's purely plant-based. That's the general crux of raw food. And so because I'd been eating the way that I deemed healthy for a number of years, we have a brother that is pretty good at questioning all kinds of avenues of health and has done for the last, goodness knows, 15 years or so. So we've been exposed to some pretty interesting things over the years.
We have.
So that was a pretty good influence over the years too, but being in London and putting on weight and coming back to Australia after that, not being in pure model form, was a big wake-up call, because your body's your business as a model. So I looked into this raw food lifestyle to have it as just that, a lifestyle, to be able to maintain my measurements, lose the weight, and be in peak form, I suppose. Be, you know, have like great mental clarity, great energy levels, maintain hormone levels, and getting all the nutrients that I needed to look and feel healthy all the time. So over about a 6-month period, I introduced more and more of it. I went a bit radical and went a bit hardcore on it first off. So went cold turkey on refined sugar, on alcohol, on wheat and gluten, and had a series of really hardcore detox reactions because of it. But I was exercising 5 or 6 days a week as well to really lose the weight. So after about 3 months, I lost like 13 kilograms, was finally reaching the results that I sort of needed to as a model, and started looking how I was used to seeing myself in pictures. That was the beginning stages, but it also was a really cool creative outlet for me in nourishing myself and the beginning stages of actually showing myself self-love. So it was a really cool
maybe,
journey of that.
Maybe connecting on a more deeper level with your intuition.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, you're asking yourself, do I want to eat that, rather than just eating it blindly?
Yeah, actually. And because, developing a voice in there too.
Yeah. You know, I know at our family dinner table, a bottle of wine's always on offer.
Nightly.
So it's an interesting thing when you decide to say no, if it's something that you're just used to partaking in.
Exactly, true.
Yeah. And actually listening to your body and saying, I actually don't feel like that tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. So, but in the first, you know, 2 to 3 years of purely eating a lifestyle that like that, and questioning everything, and I was pretty much an extremist. So, and
I can vouch for that.
Yeah. So, and with that, you know, comes some isolation and alienating yourself as well as other people, because they don't necessarily understand your position or what you're going through in that moment in time. So,
more learnings for you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
In your evolution. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, you would recommend for, I don't know, I'll take that back. Would you recommend the raw food lifestyle for young up and coming models, maybe in their mid 20s when they've gotten past that young teenage years where you can eat anything you like and no weight goes on? Is that something that you would say would be a good lifestyle choice, or is that maybe now, with the knowledge you've got now, would you say that that's a good thing to do to your body or not?
Ooh, another great question. I feel like it has its merits in many ways in healing the body in a deep way of lots of different ailments. To keep it up as a lifestyle, I feel, is quite a challenge, because food is such a social aspect to our life, and you would have to seek out really heavily the people that eat the same way. And they're, you know, few and far between when you start looking at the majority of people in the world. So also, I think that to maintain that sort of a lifestyle, living in a warmer climate is definitely, it comes with a bit more ease.
Yeah.
Living in a cooler climate, it's a bit more of a challenge, because it is quite cooling on your body. And it's fine to do it for a certain period of time, but to have it ongoing for years and years, you have to be quite savvy about nutrition, I think.
Yeah.
To make sure you're getting everything.
That was what I was kind of wanting to get to. And also the cooked versus non-cooked, you know, sometimes is it a good thing to have a certain percentage of cooked food?
Yeah, and everyone's body is different. And we're all going through different things at different times too. Like, stress levels cause a huge effect on your body. So, and as well as different stages in life, there's a whole lot of factors to what we eat and why we eat. So, as I've come to learn over the years, and I would say that it needs to very much have a heavy intuitive aspect to it. So you really need to go with what your body needs at the time. And I feel like if doing a raw food journey for a short space of time actually helps you develop that level of intuition, it can be a really powerful thing, because you will start to listen, because it does fine-tune everything. It does raise your vibration. You think clearer and you feel more connected to the earth and everything around you, because you're eating just purely plants.
High vibrational food.
Well, yes. Yeah. So if that's your journey, then yes. There's lots of gut issues and things that should be addressed too. So it's quite a radical way of eating. And I think that you could do it slowly and not just, you know, go cold turkey overnight like I did and be really crazy.
I know for me on my journey, it's been just really starting to listen to my body and actually, when I go to put something in my mouth, ask, do I really want this?
Mm.
And, you know, coffee was one of the biggest things for me. Ben would, my husband, he would make me a cup of coffee every morning. And the more I delved into spiritual healing and sort of raised my vibration and learned more about the non-physical and physical, I actually found that I was, without consciously realizing it, I wasn't drinking that coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
He'd make it for me, I'd have two sips out of it, and it'd still be there 3 hours later. And one morning he came to me with the full cup of coffee and he says, I'm not making you this anymore. And I went, oh, why not? And he said, because you don't drink it. And I looked at the cup and I looked at him and I went, oh, I don't. He said, you haven't drunk this for months. And that's where I now, ever since that moment, I pay attention a lot more on a conscious level about when I'm about to drink or eat something, whether I really want it or I don't want it.
Mm.
And I would say that that's kind of what you've been doing over time, is just actually connecting with that, with yourself on a deeper level, so that you can hear what your body's saying to you, what your higher self is saying to you, what you actually really need.
Yeah.
Physically, emotionally, mentally.
Yeah.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Mm.
And on that journey, you have learned Reiki.
Yes. Yes.
And that's been another shift in...
Huge.
...in gear for you.
Huge, yes.
And maybe you'd like to share sort of how that has been a progression through from this getting to know your body, starting off being sort of insecure and needing the mental bashing, then starting to connect with... connect with your body and what it's actually really needing, and then actually realizing, hang on a second, there's something else there on an emotional level that I need to access.
Yeah.
And I'm able to access this using healing. Perhaps you could explain to the listeners how that's had an effect for you.
Sure. So it's been a really powerful journey. My Reiki level one was gifted to me as a birthday present from my beautiful sister, who is a master. So it was probably the most thoughtful present I think anyone's ever given to me, in the sense that it adds tremendous value to my life, or added.
And it was also the right time to offer that gift.
Perfect timing, because I'd come out of an 8-year relationship that had that I'd allowed and been very active in making it very toxic, and for both parties involved was just really unhealthy, and just went on for maybe longer than it should have, but, you know, it is what it is, and I really wasn't okay towards the end of it. Pretty much had a nervous breakdown, and Reiki really helped my self-empowerment and developed my self-love in a way that gave me a lot more confidence to be able to learn to protect myself. Being an empath my entire life as well, I've always been sensitive to energies and other people's, other entities, all kinds of stuff.
You're like a magnet, and they all used to stick to you.
Pretty much, yeah, was a really big magnet, and used to take on other people's stuff to be able to help heal them, because on a subconscious level, I suppose that's how I knew how to do it, was to take on other people's stuff, because it was easier for me to take on their pain than see them hurting. So, but learning to protect myself with Reiki was a big shift in that. To know that I didn't have to take on their stuff, and I could actually heal them in a different way, with the beautiful earth energy and the greater energy source that we're all connected to. So, yeah,
it's like plugging in to an infinite field of energy that is just so abundant that you don't need to feel drained.
Yeah,
you don't need to feel tired. You don't need to feel like you've totally just tapped out.
Yeah.
You can just know that there is enough.
Mm.
And the beauty of it is that you're healing yourself while you heal other people.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been such a beautiful journey in the different levels, progressing through it and having the major shifts that you do along that journey. It's been really cool to observe. And reaching a level of body awareness that's just knowing you have so much power in your mind to be able to overcome things that you previously would have never thought was possible, and just living through emotions because that's just all you know, but being able to question it from a different level. So that's been, you know, a bit of my journey through Reiki, but now practicing has been even a deeper journey, helping others through that and including meditation in there for them, which is such a powerful tool. To be able to just calm the mind and spend time in your body. Which, again, a lot of people choose to just live in the chatter all the time. And don't know how to
live. They don't even know that that's what they're doing.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. They don't know that that's what it is. It's chatter inside their head, and they can choose to look in a different direction.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've done some work with people with severe depression, as well as people, you know, just going through emotional breakups and just need a little bit of a top up and just a bit of love and nurturing. It's a really nice healing for people to just spend time with themselves as well and reconnect.
So when you've got Reiki 2 and Seishem Reiki 1, so you're quite diverse in your knowledge now with Reiki.
Yeah.
And you've also, what I like to do with my students is encourage your own creativity and tap into your own source of healing and what you have known how to do in previous lifetimes, but it's like you didn't know you could do it in this life. So now you're tapping into those abilities and actually creating your own healing style with all the tools that you've been given.
Yeah, it's cool.
Sort of
it's
stretching really cool. Beyond just Reiki now. It's
It's
actually just a healing form in itself.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And I touched on a bit of shamanic healing training earlier in the year, which was, again, just another modality, but really cool to just bring it all together and make it all make sense.
Yeah.
And that felt really, really cool. Again, to just, you know, add something else to the toolkit, because I feel like that's what life is about, is just adding more and more to the toolkit.
And if you compare your life now to back, say, 5 years ago, how's the happy meter going?
Oh, wow. Like, just totally different reality. Yeah. Happy meter is probably, I'd say, at about 90%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Compared to, wow, probably, I mean, we all look at our life through our own lenses at the time, so, but in comparison to my life now, back then my happiness meter would be probably something like 20%, 18 to 20%. Yeah, different reality.
Different reality.
It feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have been through a lot.
Yes.
You have done a lot.
It's been emotional. Yeah.
But good.
Yeah. It's all been...
all learning.
Really cool challenges.
You've come across some amazing teachers that have...
yourself included.
Oh, thank you. Look, it's just... yeah.
Yeah.
It's just been a huge life lesson. And from a sister watching, even myself, I've had to do healings on having to watch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which you probably don't know.
It's never really occurred to me, but I can probably see why.
Yeah. You know, because I understood at the time that it was your journey and these are things that you need to figure out and learn for yourself.
That's a hard thing, I think, as a family member, seeing anyone you care about going through some pretty tough hardships, and you can see that they've, you know, got such a better path for them, but you really need to let them live it themselves.
They really need to find that path themselves because your way is not necessarily the right way for them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be challenging in life to watch.
So I thank you for the teachings that you gave me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
You taught me to be humble and to be patient and to definitely check my ego.
Yes, ego's goody.
So, yeah.
Pleasure.
Very interesting. Now, before we go,
yes,
there is a question I like to ask my visitors who come on the show. I like to ask whether you can tell us all about a unusual incident that may have occurred to you when you were a child or in your younger years that was maybe the intro to proof that there are things beyond the physical world that we... basically, your introduction to knowing that spirit exists.
Okay. So spirit in the sense of...
Non-physical
in whatever that might be.
However that might come across for you.
Okay, so as a child growing up in a haunted house, I got this room that my older sister...
Thank you so much for taking that one. Just saying.
I was given this room in this house as my bedroom that my older sister decided was not any good for her from a young age. So obviously my sister's older than me. And
her sister is me.
So Nat decided that this room wasn't any good. It felt really weird. And she moved down the hallway. And so when I was born, I got this room. I too felt that it was a bit weird and I never really slept amazingly in that room. I always felt like there was this presence standing at the end of my bed watching me sleep at night. I always used to hear footsteps up and down the hallway. I couldn't sleep with the door closed. The creepy television shows that would be wafting of an evening when I'd be trying to go to sleep with the, you know, scary music, and they're talking about unsolved mysteries and the creepy man's voice and all that kind of stuff, just escalated the issue of feeling uneasy in my bedroom. Not only just the bedroom, but the house too. There was this one room in this house that was freezing cold, and none of us, not even mum or dad, would like to spend time alone in this room.
No, I used to pay my brother to come and get, if I had to get anything out of that room, I'd pay my brother to come with me.
Yeah. So that was probably my introduction to some extra presence of spirit. I kind of, on a subconscious level, knew that it wasn't just us. And I actually have a memory, not only just the footsteps up and down the hallway and this presence at the end of the bed that I couldn't really see defined. So one morning I woke up and I felt like it was just extra active, and it was really, there was a really strong presence in the room, next to the bed this time, like on the side of the bed. and I put the covers over my head, a sheet, and was just really freaked out and frightened. At least it was daylight, but at the same time, under the sheet, a face appeared at me with these crystal clear blue eyes, and they're smiling at me. So I knew that someone was just playing with me, and freaked me out even more. And then, you know, obviously ran out of the room screaming, and there's nothing in there when your parents go in. So that was probably one of the first things, and there's been a bunch of things since.
Oh, we had many.
Yeah.
We had many. We could fill a whole show just talking about the creepy stuff that happened in that house. And unfortunately, we've got a realist for a father who doesn't believe in any of it and used to...
say that ghosts weren't real.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Ghosts aren't real. But he would come and investigate.
He would.
And he would open the front door, run outside like a big boogeyman, and go, screaming, rah!
And try and scare them away.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, meanwhile, they're all just standing there laughing with their arms crossed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Mm.
It's good to look back on now. It wasn't fun at the time.
I'm sure you've all got some little ghost stories.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, Hannah, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We will have to do this again sometime.
I'd love to.
Yep. So thank you all for listening. And I hope that you enjoyed this story. If there's anyone out there that resonates with this story and would like to leave a comment, please do. If you'd like to contact Hannah, she's at Hannah Ubel on Facebook. And you can also leave comments at the Light of Wellness page. And we'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Head over to lightofwellness.com. That is www.lightofwellness.com now and sign up for my newsletter by joining the Light Tribe. I will keep you up to date with the latest info on upcoming episodes, workshops, meditation groups, and Reiki courses. I would also love if you have a chance to rate us on iTunes. Ratings means we are able to reach more people. Thank you again so much for joining me today. Have a great week. The content found within these podcasts are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Nothing on this website is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any physical or medical conditions. If you have any physical or medical conditions, you should seek the advice of your medical professional immediately.